It's Friday, the 6th of September, and this is the Monocle Minute today.
No, order! Order! Order, I am simply and politely informing the Prime Minister of the very long-established procedure with which everybody, including the Prime Minister, must comply. That's the position. No doubt, no argument, no contradiction. End of the matter.
Britain's democracy is under pressure, but just how well is the country's political framework holding up? Plus, Iran carries on its nuclear program, alarming those hoping to maintain the 2015 deal. Full steam ahead for a cleverly designed new rail service in Switzerland. And Monocle's editorial team farewells one of Britain's more colourful MPs after this week's brutal parliamentary purge. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Britain's MPs are expected to hold another vote on Monday on whether to call a snap election next month. Boris Johnson is said to be viewing this week as the start of an election campaign, though he's yet to secure anything close to the level of parliamentary support needed to hold that election. Amid all the chaos and tantrums that have dominated Westminster this week, it might be tempting to see Britain as a nation in the midst of a democratic crisis. But just how well are the nation's safeguards holding up? Geoffrey Howard is a professor of political science at UCL. Geoff, Boris Johnson has tried to exploit Britain's political rulebook. How successful has he been?
I think the Prime Minister has been pretty unsuccessful, we've seen. Even the most dramatic instance of what many are suggesting is an abuse of power, which is his attempt to prorogue or suspend Parliament so that he can force through his highly unpopular no-deal Brexit, has been facing some pretty serious legal challenges. Just in the High Court this week, we're seeing a real possibility that while the Prime Minister is ordinarily understood to have the power to prorogue Parliament, for example, if doing so is necessary, say, for the purposes of a Queen's speech, many are saying that his current attempt to do so goes too far. And I think these kinds of legal pushbacks that we're currently seeing testify to the strength of the UK system and the fact that there are forces pushing back against attempts to take one's power too far. And I think that should be something that we find quite gratifying.
Geoffrey, does the evidence so far suggest, in your view, that Britain, despite all the chaos that we've seen this week and in recent months, still has a robust enough political framework to withstand the pressures of populism, whether it's the current case of Brexit or any other case in the future?
I think it does. I think we need to have a bit more confidence in the constitutional system of the United Kingdom. There was a pretty controversial op-ed in The Guardian the other day by Vernon Bognador, who's one of the great constitutional lawyers in the UK. And he threw a bit of cold water on a lot of the hyperbole that's been out there about the particular issue of proroguing or suspending Parliament. I think Nicola Sturgeon referred to the decision to prorogue Parliament, or at least asked the Queen to prorogue Parliament, as the day any semblance of British democracy died. And I think Vernon Bognador was right that this goes a bit too far, that actually even the decision to prorogue, as I mentioned, is being challenged in the courts. It may be that the courts ruled that this was something that was ultra vires, that was beyond the powers of the executive, and so it will be ruled illegal. And I think insofar as we're still using the legal channels, insofar as we still have great confidence that the legal process is one that can be trusted, and insofar as we see a robust debate in Parliament, as we certainly have this week, where we have people disagreeing and militantly, passionately rather, arguing for their point of view, I think talk of a fundamental crisis of British democracy probably is a bit hyperbolic.
An optimistic note then from Geoffrey Howard to take us into the weekend. Geoff, always a pleasure. Thank you. Iran will begin developing centrifuges today, which will aid in the enrichment of uranium. The move adds more pressure to those nations seeking to maintain Iran's participation in the 2015 nuclear agreement. Sanam Vakil is an associate fellow at the Middle East and North Africa program at Chatham House.
It's always serious when Iran begins to breach and accelerate withdrawal from the Iran nuclear agreement. It remains still in compliance, but these sort of breaches shorten Iran's breakout time and also raise international concerns and put pressure on the European effort to try and save the nuclear deal. The nuclear deal is not dead yet, though, and it's important to look at the diplomacy being led by President Macron to see if there is a chance to freeze tensions and to return Iran into compliance. There has been much criticism of the Trump administration's approach. The president has been unhappy with the fact that the deal is limited in terms of time, meaning one day Iran will be able to pursue a peaceful nuclear energy program, one that will always be monitored, but one that will exist. So he's been threatened by that and the fact that also Iran's ballistic missile program and role in the region has never been properly addressed. Experts have criticized President Trump's maximum pressure policy for the fact that the deal was working. The nuclear agreement was actually effective in controlling Iran's nuclear program. And people have warned that tensions would accelerate with Iran, which is indeed what has happened. So it is very unclear still, 2 years after the American withdrawal, if this strategy is going to lead to a better deal or if it's just going to lead to a shorter, smaller version of the nuclear agreement that President Obama negotiated.
To Switzerland now, where a new train sporting a clever design is getting ready for departure.
Italian design house Pininfarina has unveiled plans for the long-awaited Golden Pass Express. It's a new train offering a direct connection through Switzerland's tourist hubs of Montreux, Gstaad and Interlaken. Passengers have to switch trains between Interlaken to Montreux on the current Golden Pass. But beginning next December, 4 million passengers a year can travel directly to all three regions, thanks to a new technology enabling seamless track gauge conversion. Montreux Oberland Bernese, the Swiss railway company operating the trains, hopes that a seamless journey and more frequent train service will drive tourism in the three popular hotspots. The redesigned trains will also feature large windows, offering panoramic views of the Vaud and the Bernese Alps. And for a country known for its vistas, the Golden Pass is a fitting name.
And finally today, Monocle's editorial team farewells one of Britain's more colourful MPs after this week's brutal parliamentary purge.
I rise to support this bill, but before I do so, I want to make clear that I have always believed that the referendum result must be honoured, and indeed I voted for the withdrawal agreement on every occasion that has been presented to the House, which is more than can be said for my right honourable friend the Prime Minister, the Leader of the House and other members of the Cabinet, whose serial disloyalty has been such an inspiration to so many of us. Mr Speaker.
There have been notable casualties in Westminster's Brexit battles, but few members of Parliament will be missed as much as Sir Nicholas Soames, who steps down at the next, likely soon, election. A Conservative who might look like a pinstriped talisman of Tory tradition, but has also been the sort of nuanced Europhile only Winston Churchill's grandson could be.
That a threat to commit an act of self-harm if your counterparts in a negotiation do not do exactly as you wish is not exactly likely to be an effective or successful negotiating strategy.
Nuance, however, is an adjective fairly freshly ascribed to the member for Mid Sussex. In the media, Soames, over a 37-year parliamentary career, has often been known for his love of lunch and the ladies, sometimes in that order. Soames was one of the few remaining parliamentary gourmands until a few years ago, when he crash-dieted to become racing snake slim, but not before being told, during a parliamentary debate on the Millennium Dome in the late 1990s, that money could be saved by holding the mother of all New Year's parties in his own capacious underpants. Soames wrote out nicknames of Bunter, Two Lunches, and the simple Fatty with a genial smile. For a time, Soames favoured witty waistcoat and sock combinations in garish colours that, according to Commons law, excited comments from David, Lord Sainsbury, an important donor to the Conservative Party and scion of the Sainsbury supermarket chain, one of the richest men in Britain. Soames' supposed response to Sainsbury's sartorial critique? Bah, that'll be the day when my grocer tells me how to dress. That we live in straitened times is moot. That we live in less colourful ones, surely not. A cabal of posturing Edwardians is not the same as parliamentarians of genuine character. Soames's short, likely farewell speech in the House of Commons brought a tear to the eye, as well, of course, as a laugh, as he poked his right honourable friend the Prime Minister, the Leader of the House, and other members of the Cabinet whose serial disloyalty has been such an inspiration to so many of us. Best of all for Soames watchers, though, was that which was dished up to describe his lovemaking technique by a former girlfriend. What was it like making love to the big man? Like being fallen on by a wardrobe, she once said, with the key still in it. A toast, then, to nuance and its lack.
Well, that's all in today's programme. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. And the political discussion continues on Monocle 24 this weekend with Emma Nelson live at 8 a.m. London time on Saturday. That's here on Monocle 24. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute returns on Monday. Do enjoy your weekend.